A Mission Long Foreknown by W. Jeffrey Marsh. Many prophets foresaw the role of Joseph Smith in the Restoration, and some assisted personally in this choice seer's work. As early as March 1829, the Lord declared to Joseph Smith, "This generation shall have my word through you." Doctrine and Covenants, Section 5, Verse 10. At the time, the prophet Joseph was 23 years old. He would live only 15 more years. But in those 15 very full years, he became the instrument through whom the Lord ushered in the dispensation of the fullness of times. When the Lord would reveal unto my church things which have been kept hid from before the foundation of the world. Section 124, verse 41. Ancient prophets knew that an apostasy from the early Christian church would necessitate a latter-day restoration from heaven. Following the earthly ministry of Christ's apostles, priesthood authority was lost. Ordinances essential for salvation were changed. Truths were removed or held back from the Scriptures, and covenants were taken away. These vital principles and ordinances could be restored only by revelation through the instrumentality of God Himself. Therefore, the Lord declared that in the latter days He would bring forth, in mine own power, much of my gospel which shall be plain and precious. 1 Nephi chapter 13, verse 34. As promised, God has manifested Himself in these latter days, in word and also in power and in very deed. 1 Nephi chapter 14, verse 1. Through the ministry of angels and revelations to modern prophets, God has restored the fullness of His gospel to the earth, bringing about what He called a great and a marvelous work among the children of men. 1 Nephi chapter 14, verse 7. A life and mission foreknown. The calling and mission of Joseph Smith, the first prophet of this marvelous restoration, were known long before his birth. He and other choice spirits were reserved to come forth in the fullness of times to take part in laying the foundations of the great latter-day work. Section 138, verse 53. He was among the noble and great ones who were chosen in the beginning to be rulers in the church of God, and prepared before birth to come forth in the due time of the Lord, to labor in His vineyard for the salvation of the souls of men. See Doctrine and Covenant, section 138, verses 55 and 56. See also Jacob, chapter 5, verses 70 through 71. In 1823, an angel named Moroni appeared to the 17-year-old Joseph in Palmyra, New York, telling him that God had a work for me to do, and that my name should be had for good and evil among all nations, kindreds, and tongues, or that it should be both good and evil spoken of among all people. Joseph Smith History 1, verse 33. Consider the implications of that announcement. What were the chances that the prophecy could possibly come to pass, given the time and circumstances in which Joseph Smith lived? Only a divine source could have known it would be fulfilled, but it has come to pass. This was not the first time Joseph's life and mission had been foretold. Prophets from all ages have known of him and prophesied of the work he would do. Joseph of Egypt. One such prophecy was uttered by the ancient patriarch Joseph. He was promised by the Lord that a descendant of his, a choice seer, would be raised up in the latter days. 2 Nephi chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. This seer would be esteemed highly, and his work would be of great worth to all mankind. In fact, the seer's work would help deliver the Lord's people in that day, as the work of Moses did in his day. See 2 Nephi chapter 3, verses 7 and 9. Joseph of Egypt said this choice latter-day seer would bring forth a record, the Book of Mormon and other books, the Doctrine and Covenants, Pearl of Great Price, and so forth, that would bear witness to the world that the Scriptures already given, the Bible, are true. See 2 Nephi chapter 3, verses 11 through 12. Also Joseph Smith's translation of Genesis, chapter 50, verses 30 through 33. Also the Bible Appendix. Also 1 Nephi chapter 13, verses 35 through 36, and verses 39 through 41. The patriarch Joseph saw that these two records would grow together to confound false doctrine, establish peace, and bring people to a knowledge of the Lord's covenants. 2 Nephi chapter 3, verse 12. Joseph prophesied that this seer would have the same name as he did, Joseph, and that the seer's father would also be named Joseph. See 2 Nephi chapter 3, verse 15. With three older brothers, it was not mere coincidence that Joseph Smith Jr. received his father's name. Moses. The prophet Moses learned that Joseph Smith would restore lost scripture. The Savior revealed, "And now, Moses, my son, I will speak unto thee concerning this earth upon which thou standest, and thou shalt write the things which I shall speak. And in a day when the children of men shall esteem my words as naught, and take many of them from the book which thou shalt write, behold, I will raise up another like unto thee, and they shall be had again among the children of men, among as many as shall believe." Moses chapter 1, verses 40 through 41. Joseph Smith was that prophet like unto Moses, who restored Moses' words to the biblical record. But as prophesied, only those who believe in Joseph Smith's mission enjoy the refreshing insights of the doctrinal restoration. Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah foresaw Joseph Smith's work and even wrote of conversations that Joseph's associates would have regarding the translation of the Book of Mormon. Much of the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 29 has reference to the coming forth of the Book of Mormon. Malachi. Likewise, Malachi prophesied of a latter-day forerunner who would prepare the way for the Lord to come to his temple. See Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. On the 3rd of August, 1831, Joseph Smith dedicated the first site for a modern-day temple at Independence, Missouri. On the 27th of March, 1836, he dedicated the Kirtland, Ohio Temple. See section 109 of the Doctrine and Covenants. It was in this temple that Joseph Smith's divine mission was reconfirmed by the Savior, and Joseph received the priesthood keys from Moses, Elias, and Elijah. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 110. Elijah's appearance in the Kirtland Temple signaled the fulfillment of another prophecy of Malachi, that Elijah would return to the earth before the great and dreadful day of the Lord to restore the sealing keys of the priesthood, lest the whole earth be smitten with a curse. See Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 through 6, and section 2 of the Doctrine and Covenants. When he appeared in the Kirtland Temple to Joseph Smith, Elijah announced that the prophecy of Malachi was now fulfilled, and that by this we may know that the great and dreadful day of the Lord is near, even at the doors. Section 110, verse 16. See also verses 13 through 15. In addition to building temples, through revelation, the prophet Joseph Smith learned the purposes of temples and received the temple ordinances. As a result of his efforts and those of succeeding prophets, especially President Gordon B. Hinckley, there are more than 100 temples in operation or in construction and planning stages today. Nothing else in the history of modern Christianity compares to how Malachi's prophecies have been fulfilled by Latter-day prophets and the Latter-day saints. John the Baptist. John the Baptist had a knowledge of the prophet of the Restoration. When priests and Levites asked John if he was Elias or the Messiah, he confessed and denied not that he was Elias, the forerunner, but confessed, saying, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, saying, "How then art thou Elias?" And he said unto them, "I am not that Elias who was to restore all things." And they asked him, saying, "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Joseph Smith Translation, John chapter 1, verses 20 through 22, also the Bible Appendix. Joseph Smith is the modern Elias spoken of by John the Baptist, who was to restore all things. See section 132, verses 40 and 45. Peter, James, and John. While returning from the Mount of Transfiguration, the Savior told Peter, James, and John about one who was to come and restore all things, as the prophets have written. Joseph Smith, Matthew, chapter 17, verse 14. The apostles assumed he was referring to John the Baptist. and also of another who should come and restore all things as it is written by the prophets. Joseph Smith translation of Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. Joseph Smith, it seems from our perspective now, was this other prophet to whom Peter, James, and John themselves appeared in 1829, restoring the authority and keys of the Melchizedek priesthood, which they held. See section 128, verse 20. The Savior's words to the Nephites. At the time of his appearance in ancient America, the Savior prophesied to the Nephites of the role that Joseph Smith eventually filled in bringing forth the Book of Mormon and beginning the Restoration. 3 Nephi chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. The Savior taught that this seer's life would be safeguarded until his mission was completed. The life of my servant shall be in my hand, therefore they shall not hurt him, although he shall be marred because of them, yet I will heal him. 3 Nephi chapter 21, verse 10. Joseph's life and mission were marred. The translation of the Book of Mormon was temporarily interrupted by the loss of the first 116 pages. But God had prepared a way for the problem to be overcome and the translation to go forward. See section 10, verses 6 through 19 and verses 38 through 45. In 1832, he was tarred and feathered by a mob and left for dead. He said, "My friends spent the night in scraping and removing the tar and washing and cleansing my body." The next morning was the Sabbath, and with great faith and effort, Joseph kept a commitment to speak that day. His hearers included some of the mobbers from the night before. "With my flesh all scarified and defaced, I preached to the congregation as usual, and in the afternoon of the same day baptized three individuals." A few months later, while he was traveling through Indiana, his dinner was poisoned. Bishop Newell K. Whitney administered to him, and Joseph was healed immediately. Although the effects of the poison caused him to vomit so violently, his jaw became dislocated and to lose some of his hair. It is true that his life and mission were marred by opposition again and again, but he was preserved to finish the Lord's work. President Brigham Young once said, "If 1,000 hounds were on this temple block, Temple Square, let loose one rabbit, and it would not be a bad illustration of the situation at the times of the prophet Joseph. He was hunted unremittingly, and although the prophet was slain for his testimony, the work he began continues to roll forward." President Young also said, "Why was he hunted from neighborhood to neighborhood, from city to city, and from state to state, and at last suffered death? Because he received revelations from the Father, from the Son, and was ministered to by holy angels, and published to the world the direct will of the Lord concerning his children on the earth." Joseph's relationship with prophets of old. Those who read the Scriptures become aware of these prophecies about a restorer. If Joseph Smith is not the foreseen prophet, who else could it possibly be? Not only did the ancient prophets know of Joseph Smith and prophesy of his mission, but he knew many of them personally. In the spring of 1820, Joseph Smith was visited by the Father and the Son, and also by many angels. The heavens opened again in 1823, when Moroni appeared, followed in subsequent years by a host of other heavenly messengers, all declaring their dispensations, rights, privileges, and keys of authority. "Who among the world scholars," one author wrote, "can boast of having stood face to face with Adam, Enoch, Noah, a messenger from Abraham's dispensation, Moses, John, the son of Zacharias, Peter, James, and John?" While religious leaders were claiming that the heavens were sealed to them, Joseph Smith was being personally tutored by ancient prophets who laid their hands upon his head and conferred upon him the powers, keys, and authority they held. See Joseph Smith History 1, verses 27 through 54, section 128 of the Doctrine and Covenants, verses 19 through 21, and Moroni chapter 7, verses 35 through 37. Who but Joseph Smith could tell us that Seth was in the perfect likeness of his father? Section 107, verse 43 of the Doctrine and Covenants. Or could give a detailed description of Paul, or describe personal visits with John the Beloved? Joseph knew the Bible. He knew its authors, and they knew him. He was heaven-taught and angel-tutored. Reflecting on his experiences, he said, "Could you gaze into heaven 5 minutes? You would know more than you would by reading all that ever was written on the subject." And Joseph was blessed many times to have that view. President Daniel H. Wells, 1814 through 1891, a counselor in the first presidency, testified, "It seemed to me that he advanced principles that neither he nor any other man could have obtained except from the source of all wisdom, the Lord himself. Where could he have got this knowledge and understanding that so far surpassed all I had ever witnessed, unless it had come from heaven?" Wilford Woodruff once observed, "He seemed a fountain of knowledge from whose mouth streams of eternal wisdom flowed, and as he stood before the people, he showed that the authority of God was upon him." Specific events of the Restoration foreseen. All the major events of the Restoration were foreseen and foreknown. The first vision. Peter foretold the times of refreshing to come from the presence of the Lord, when the Father and the Son would begin the restitution of all things. See Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. In 1820, the Father and the Son appeared to Joseph Smith, and the dispensation of the fullness of times began. Angels to restore the gospel. John the Revelator foresaw that an angel would appear having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. The angel Moroni's appearances, 1823 through 1827, initiated the fulfillment of John's prophecy. See also section 133, verses 36 through 37. Subsequently, other angels appeared to assist in the restoration. The Book of Mormon. Isaiah, Ezekiel, and King David all foretold the coming forth of the Book of Mormon. Enoch also saw in vision the restored gospel of Jesus Christ and the Book of Mormon sweeping the earth as with a flood to gather out mine elect from the four quarters of the earth to establish Zion. Moses chapter 7, verse 62. In the tops of the mountains, Micah and Isaiah saw the saints gathering to the tops of the everlasting mountains. There they would establish the mountain of the Lord's house, to which all nations shall flow, to learn of God's ways so they can walk in his paths. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 3, also Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, and Isaiah chapter 18, verse 3. Like Isaiah and Micah, the prophet Joseph Smith prophesied of the saints going west and settling in the tops of the mountains, where the church is now headquartered. Other ancient prophets knew the saints would be organized in the height of Zion, in the tops of the everlasting hills. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 12, Genesis chapter 49, verse 26. Worldwide growth. Nephi foresaw the growth of the Latter-day Church. He said the Latter-day Saints would be few in number, but would be all over the earth. See 1 Nephi chapter 14, verse 12. This prophecy is now being fulfilled in a marvelous way. The church, which began with just 6 members, now numbers more than 11 million in over 150 nations. Miraculous gathering of Israel to the gospel. Jeremiah foresaw the modern missionary force and the miraculous gathering of Israel. Missionary hunters and fishers, as Jeremiah described them in Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 16, are now being sent to seek the righteous, wherever they may be. Jeremiah said that the miracles accompanying the gathering of the Latter-day Israel via missionary work would be so astounding that those miracles would be spoken of more than the miraculous deliverance from ancient Egypt. See Jeremiah chapter 16, verses 14 through 15, also Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 7 through 8. Knowledge poured out. Daniel, Joel, and Isaiah foresaw modern developments and inventions assisting the growth of the gospel. For instance, Daniel said that knowledge shall be increased, Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. Joel said God would pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and many would dream dreams and see visions, Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 29. Isaiah foresaw a time when the Lord's work would be hastened by swift travel across the earth. See Isaiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 3, 2 Nephi chapter 15, verses 26 through 27. Modern inventions in transportation and communication have paralleled by divine design church growth. The day approaches when the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 9. An ensign waving to all the world. Isaiah described the prophet Joseph as one to whom rightly belongs the priesthood and the keys of the kingdom, who would establish an ensign for the gathering of the Lord's people in the last days. In 1823, when the angel Moroni first appeared, he quoted Isaiah's prophecy and declared that it was about to be fulfilled. Joseph Smith History 1, verse 40. Elder Bruce R. McConkie, 1915 through 1985, of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, identified Joseph Smith as the very person that Isaiah was referring to. The stone rolling forth. Daniel foresaw a stone cut out without hands that would roll forth and fill the whole earth. Daniel chapter 2, verses 34 through 35. In 1831, the Lord identified his Latter-day Church as that stone rolling forth and filling the earth. Doctrine and Covenants, section 65, verses 2 and 6. It has been cut out by the hand of God and is now moving across the globe as foretold. Daniel said the restored church would never be destroyed but would stand forever. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. The prophet Joseph Smith reaffirmed Daniel's prophecy, declaring, "The standard of truth has been erected. No unhallowed hand can stop the work from progressing." President Gordon B. Hinckley has testified, "This cause will roll on in majesty and power to fill the earth. Doors now closed to the preaching of the gospel will be open. The Almighty, if necessary, may have to shake the nations to humble them and cause them to listen to the servants of the living God. Whatever is needed will come to pass." Out of obscurity, the life of Joseph Smith and the early history of the church were filled with persecution and seemingly insurmountable obstacles. However, the Savior inspired his small group of saints with prophecies that his church would be one day brought out of obscurity and out of darkness. It is happening, as prophesied, as noted in this reminding refrain from one of our hymns. "For God remembers still his promise made of old, that he on Zion's hill true standard would unfold. Her light should there attract the gaze of all the world in latter days." Fulfilling the divinely decreed destiny. The fulfillment of all these and other great prophecies is truly a marvelous work and a wonder. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 14. As Elder Robert L. Backman of the 70 testified, "The restoration is real, and it is gathering steam now to fulfill its destiny. It is exciting to live in a day when the ancient prophets' words are being fulfilled. Under the Lord's direction, the restoration has been established in these latter days to bless the entire human family." See 1 Nephi chapter 15, verse 18. The gospel has been restored on the earth as a light, a standard, and as a messenger to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. Section 45, verse 9 of the Doctrine and Covenants. This work will continue, but as Elder Neil A. Maxwell of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles reminds us, all the easy things the churches had to do have been done. From now on, it is high adventure. Ours is the great privilege of participating in the Lord's work, the dramatic unfolding of the restoration, and the incomparable building of the Latter-day Zion. Not only did ancient prophets see Joseph Smith, they also saw the saints living in the latter days. To those who build upon the foundation established by the prophet Joseph Smith, the Lord has promised, "And blessed are they who shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. And if they endure unto the end, they shall be lifted up at the last day, and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb. And whoso shall publish peace, yea, tidings of great joy, how beautiful upon the mountains shall they be." 1 Nephi chapter 13, verse 37. Gospel topics, church history, Joseph Smith, prophecy, restoration. Note, W. Jeffrey Marsh is a member of the South Jordan 6th Ward, South Jordan, Utah Stake, is an associate professor of ancient scripture at Brigham Young University. End of the article, A Mission Long Foreknown by W. Jeffrey Marsh.